Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Hey, and happy Wednesday, everybody. It is that time of the week where we are doing the Voice of Indie podcast. And once again, I'm having issues with the microphone, so I'm on the phone tonight. So if I sound a little different and a little preoccupied, I've got a little different thing going on here tonight. So just bear with us, and we're going to have a blast tonight. This is your host, Beam Weeks, and this is episode number 189. And over there is Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Jeeves?
I'm doing all right. You may sound a little bit weird, but you look all right, and that's what matters.
Yeah. All right.
Down here in Alabama, next to the lake, we've had beautiful weather. Everything's blooming, and it's just a fun time of year. I got a grandson who's a budding ornithologist, and he's got me with an app on my phone called Merlin, where I can go outside and turn this thing on, and that cacophony of birds around me starts appearing on my phone with pictures of different birds that it's identifying for me. And it's real cool. It makes a recording, and each one's lighting up as you're actually hearing the bird, and you can go back and listen to the calls again. And I'm just having a lot of fun with that. But today I went out there. I was standing in the driveway identifying all the birds around me, and there's a mockingbird just building a nest in the bush right next to the library. That thing came up on top of the bush, started watching me, and then started doing different songs, and it drove my app nuts. You know, trying to figure out, well, what bird is that? What bird is that? And it's a mockingbird. But, hey, what are you going to do? We're in Alabama. You can't kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't kill them.
You can't kill them.
I've got a little bit of a bad news thing here. Some of you who have been listening to the show for a while, you might remember an episode we did here about 2 years ago. My cousin, Brooke Krieger, he's a musician, toured the country with various bands for 20-plus years. Yesterday he passed away. We lost him. I'm not sure of the details. I haven't spoke to him since last fall. But I know here a few years, before he was on the show here, he had been diagnosed with, some heart issues, heart failure, and he had done some, stem cell, treatments that seemed to have done a pretty good job. And, I got a notification yesterday from my sister that he had passed away, and just keep his family, my aunt and his siblings, in your prayers. And I may dig up that episode, and next time we have an encore, play that one. He was a phenomenally talented guitar player. He was a teacher, and I had actually been working with him on putting together a guitar teaching book, and I still have some of the stuff here, but it's so incomplete, probably not gonna be able to do anything with it. But he's gonna be missed. He and I were real tight growing up. We were like brothers. So I mean, that hit me pretty hard last night. We are gonna press forward with tonight's show and have a good time.
Yeah, he was a good guy, gone way too soon. We extend all of our sympathies and hope everybody comes out of this okay. We've got a new book out, and it's by tonight's guest. It's called A Beggar's Bargain. It's part of the Bargainers series by Jan Sykes. It was in pre-release for a couple of weeks. It's actually out as of yesterday, so check it out, A Beggar's Bargain by Jan Sykes.
All right. Also out right now is Ran, A Civilization in Hiding, and Key, A Lost Civilization, the third and fourth Ort Chronicles by Robert D. Willis-Cross. Both of those are out now, so get over there and grab your copies. If you're into really cool science fiction, Robert D. Willis-Cross is a master at that stuff, so go and grab one. And if you want to be part of tonight's show, even though it's kind of screwy with the phone here and two browsers open, I'm not used to all of that, but you can still call in or tweet, and here's how you do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet, and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
All right.
Hey, we got another book that we're working on, trying to have out in the next couple of weeks or so. It's called Through the Lens, Creative Guide to Nature Photography by Angie Birmingham. She's got a nickname, too, WTF Stop, as in what the F stop? And she uses that like on her Facebook page and some other places like that, too. But it's Angie Birmingham. She's a world-renowned wildlife photographer. And, man, you've seen some pictures, Bean. What do you think?
Oh, she's exceptional. I'm big time into photography. I like all the different little techniques that she adds to pictures, and she breaks them down on what she's doing and how she does it. The wildlife stuff. There's a picture she's got of a bird catching a bee right in midair, and it's called the Bee Eaters. It is so cool. But there's a lot of stuff like that in there. And like I said, she breaks it down on what she's doing. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for me, too, because it's very simple techniques for blurring the background, adding motion appearance, putting little highlights, making star effects and things like that. And these are the kinds of things you can even do with a camera phone. So I'm just having fun learning. But that's Through the Lens, Creative Guide to Nature Photography by Angie Birmingham, coming soon. We got a poetry book coming soon, too, don't we, Beam?
Yeah, it's a book of poetry and just personal correspondence. With words of encouragement. It's from a mentally handicapped special needs woman by the name of Tina Reist. I go to church with her and kind of putting some of her stuff together as a favor for her. It's called A Light in the Darkness, Words and Poetry of Encouragement. So we're working on that, and hopefully we'll have that done pretty soon.
I got another book that we're trying to get out in the next few weeks. You denizens of the show are familiar with Abigail Hugini and her book, There Must Be Something in the Water. Well, she's got a new book with Mary Smalls coming out called Mr. President, I've Got Your Back, The First Ladies of South Carolina State University. And this is a cool historical book with lots of classic photos and the stories behind the women who were behind the men presidents of the university. So that's cool, by Abigail Hugini.
Yeah. A little update on the King's Ransom, Tales and Legends, the Young Knights of the Round Table series. This is the audio book. We've been working on it for quite a long time now, a lot longer than any of the other audio books. In fact, I'll go as far as saying we've worked on it longer than all of our other audio books combined, length of time. And all I'm waiting for now is for the voice artist, Ethan Drew, to send me back a handful of rereads. I'm going to drop them in, and it's being published. Boom, it's done. We're not going to keep, adjusting this and playing with that and all that, because that's taking too much time. But hopefully, as soon as Ethan gets these here, and I just shot him an email here the other day, so I haven't heard back from him, but
he did. He responded about an hour ago to tell you that all of your clips will be in the Dropbox by tonight.
Oh, good. All right. I haven't checked my email. All right. So then there you go. I will put that together sometime this week, and hopefully we can have that up and running when we meet next week. If you want to know about these kind of things, these book releases, audiobooks, what's coming up, what's already out there, if there's sales on these books or whatever, anything you want to know, we've got a newsletter. And if you're not subscribed to it already, why not? Here's how you can get this in your email box every Wednesday morning, and it's a short. It's not going to bog you down. You're not going to be reading it all morning and putting on two pots of coffee to get through it. But here's how you can get signed up to receive this.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Inquiry with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of FreshInkGroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right. So I'm looking over here at my whole system here is going kooky because I was looking at Twitter here, and it kind of disappeared, but it's back now. We've got Verwain Greenhall. He's just throwing this out here. Good evening, gentlemen, and good evening to everyone who is listening live. We are ready to enjoy our conversation with Jan. All right, so there you go with that.
Cool. So let's take a quick
look at the top 25.
Yeah, let's take a look at the top 25 print bestsellers. This is not the ebooks, digital sales, or whatever. This is only the print, hardcovers and soft covers. Let's start at 25, Kenneth Lindquist, How to Teach Driving, the Instructor's Edition. That's the paperback book. Above that, Gwen M. Plano, The Soul Whisperer's Decision. That's her newest novel. That's at 24. At 23, the hardcover edition of Celebrate 98, The Untold Stories Behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 National Championship. College football season's been over for a little while now, but this book is still trending very strongly. Next up, the paperback edition, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida. And then above that one, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Tennessee. Both of these are by A.K. Wingler. And then above that, back to Kenneth Lindquist again, How to Teach Driving Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson, Instructor's Edition, hardcover. So the hardcover is outselling the softcover on that one, Beam.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah. Now here's a book by a retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander, Jerry Pate. Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat, a hardcover edition is in here in the teens in our bestseller list. And then above that, another A.K. Wingler, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida, hardcover edition. So those food truck books are also outselling the soft covers with the hardcovers. Now, here's Patricia A. Guthrie. We've got a commercial for one of her books in the lineup for tonight, too. This one's Legacy of Danger. You like that book, Beam?
I do. That was a well-written thriller. It was a kind of a dark, spooky kind of novel, and just really cool. She's a good writer. Excellent writer, I think so.
Yeah, excellent writer. She's got the spooky, eerie way of telling stories that's a lot of fun, definitely a lot of fun. Now, next up is the first Ort Chronicle, and we're going to play the commercial for this one during the show tonight. We've got commercials that cover all four Ort Chronicles and individual Ort Chronicles, but we figure it's time to throw people back to that first one, get them hooked into the series again. So Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Ort Chronicle by Robert G. Williscroft, paperback edition, is next up on our list. Now here's a fun one, Beam. This is one that's we are celebrating it being in print for 5 years now this week, and we have seen a surge in sales lately, and the authors contacted us about ordering several hundred copies for an event that they're holding at a library up there in Fayetteville, Tennessee. Now, when I say Fayetteville, you know what book I'm talking about, Beam.
I do.
It's The Rise and Fall of a Construction Giant, The History, People, and Stories of CFW Construction by Dick Ferrer, Jr. It's what we thought would be a small regional book about a company that grew from nothing, got big, wound up caught up in scandal, company plane crash, and just all kinds of crazy stuff happening until finally it went out of business. And we thought it'd be a nice little regional book, but it's selling all over the world. And after 5 years, there's still a lot of interest in what happened to that little construction company in Fayetteville, Tennessee.
It's a compelling story.
Yeah, it is. Now, above that, Andrew McGregor. What's his book called?
How to Paint an American, and that's a really good book as well. That is about a young man who's born in Eastern Europe, and he comes to the United States from Eastern Europe after the fall of communism, and he wants to find out what it means to be an American, and he runs into some squirrely kind of people, he runs into some bad news, and then some good people that help him out, and overall, he learns what it is to be an American.
All right, now next on the list, we've got Robert McKenzie, The Chair, Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory. This is Book 1 in the Chair series. There are four books out now, and we are working on the fifth one to try to have it out at the end of the summer. But the first book in the series is next up on our list. It's the paperback edition. And maybe we can get the author, Robert McKenzie, to call in tonight. We haven't heard from him lately. But that's
Rob.
The Chair. Now, above that, Robert G. Williscroft again. This is Keyed, A Lost Civilization, the fourth Ort Chronicle. So we got some Ort Chronicles flying every different direction. J. Edge Looney's book, Who Said That? The Stories Behind Familiar Expressions. For readers, writers, word lovers, and trivia buffs, Fresh Ink Group explains whence come those phrases that color everyday speech. We also won several awards for longest subtitle for that one. But that's by J. Edge Looney. Now, we've got B.A. Johnson, who writes our illustrated chapter books for children, and she's got her first book. It's called Sassy Discovers the AME Church. It's the first of two books in her Sassy series, and we're working on a different series for her now, Puzzle Town, which we're going to try to have out in about a month or so as well. But that Sassy Discovers the AME Church
The hardcover is next up on our list. And then if you jump three slots above that, the softcover of the same book is on there. So that book is selling almost equally in both hardcover and softcover. Now, what do we got between them? Paperback edition of The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Mark Herndon, Country Music Hall of Fame drummer who played with the supergroup Alabama for almost three decades. And that book we published in 2016. Here we are 8 years later, and it's still making our bestseller list almost every week. Also, Naked Transparent, Six Vital Tools for Knowing Yourself and Attracting Healthy Relationships by Vladimir Kolitsky. She's a counselor in Manhattan who does self-help and has this great book here. Now, this gets us to our top six, and I got a little bit of a surprise for you here at number six, Beam. Mark Marlowe. Mark Marlowe's novel, Operation Counterpunch.
Wow.
We haven't seen this on the list for a little while here, and we've been trying to get some more promotion out there, get that trailer out there and beef up some attention here, and this has jumped it up to number six. So Operation Counterpunch. That's a cool military-style thriller.
Yes, that is.
It's just a cool story, and that's also, interestingly, Beam, is the hardcover edition of the novel.
Wow.
That's in here at number six. Yeah. All right. Top five time, people. Paperback edition, Celebrate 98, The Untold Stories Behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 National Championship by Dave Hooker of Off the Hook Sports. That's at number five, months after college football season has ended, and there's still a lot of interest in that. So cool. Number four, David Carroll. Number three, David Carroll. Now, which of his books would these be? At number four, Hello, Chattanooga, Famous People Who Have Visited the Tennessee Valley by David Carroll. And then at number three, I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, David Carroll's homemade social media blunders. Those books have been going strong since the day they were published, and they're in here at number three and four this week. That gets us to our top two. Ooh, the drama is thick. What are we going to find here? Number two, hardcover edition, Mark Herndon, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Our guest tonight had the privilege of interviewing Mark Herndon and his country music star wife, Leah Seawright, one time too. Maybe she'll have a story to tell about that. But we're proud of Mark. We're proud of this book. And after 8 years, hardcover edition is at number two of our print bestsellers this week. That brings us to number one. This would be by a retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander named Jerry Pate. And it's the paperback edition, 60-chapter memoir, Life Above and Below the Seas with all kinds of crazy hijinks. It's called Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat. And Jerry Pate's book is our number one print bestseller this week. Congratulations, Jerry.
Wow, congratulations. He seems to be at number one quite a bit.
Yep.
All right, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, we are going to meet tonight's guest.
Determined to bring utilities and small building construction to rural areas, William R. Carter joined with Dick Fair and John Williams to form the CFW Construction Company in Fayetteville, Tennessee in 1952. Named for the partners, CFW expanded into building plants, roads, tunnels, bridges, and more. Within 40 years, the company grew to 5 offices, 14 subsidiaries, 1,000 pieces of equipment, and a proud workforce of more than 1,500 across a dozen states. Then came the scandals. By the end of the 20th century, CFW was gone, and the lives of everybody had changed. Dick Ferrer's son was there for the best and the worst. He knows the history and people of Fayetteville, Tennessee, where he lives with his wife not 5 minutes from where CFW started on Pioneer Street and 3 minutes from where it ended at 1824 Pulaski Highway. Now, he's written the definitive history, not just about a company, but a region and its people. With nearly 100 restored photos, most in color, Ferrer Jr. tells the true story, naming names and documenting the details. Get your copy now and grab extras as gifts in hardcover with dust jacket or maybe a softcover trade edition. It's also available in all the ebook formats worldwide, including Nook, Kindle, Google Play, iTunes, Kobo, and more. The rise and fall of a construction giant is a keepsake, a historical record, the chronicle of an era, a compelling story foretold by the man at its center at the end. The Rise and Fall of a Construction Giant by Dick Fair Jr. is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
All right. Yeah, that's an interesting read there. It's a compelling story, even though it's a story about construction, a failed construction. They were failed at the end, but they were a giant for many, many years. But, yeah, definitely a compelling story. All right, before we introduce the guests, we do have a little notice here on Twitter from, or X, from Verwayne Greenhow. He says, I've found doing book signings in the local library is a good place to find people who like to read.
Who'd have
thought?
Funny
how that works. Yeah, mm-hmm. Who'd have thought? All right, let's bring in our guest. Jan Sykes writes compelling and creative stories from the heart. She openly admits that she never set out in life to be an author, although she's been an avid reader all her life. But she had a story to tell, not just any story, but a true story that rivals any fiction creation. She brought the entertaining true story to life through fictitious characters in an intricately woven tale that encompasses four books, accompanying music CDs, and a book of poetry and art. And now this author can't put down the pen. She continues to write fiction in a variety of genres and has published many award-winning award-winning short stories and novels. Jan is an active blogger and a member of Story Empire, a devoted fan of Texas music, and a grandmother of five. She resides in North Texas. And with that, welcome back to the show, Jan Sykes.
Hey, Jan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. How about we talk a little bit about what you're doing right now? How you been?
Been good. What I'm doing right now is a house and dog sitting for my daughter and her family. They've gone to Mexico for spring break. So I'm taking care of Rosie. She's a border doodle, sweetest dog in the world, and house sitting. So that's what I'm doing at this moment.
Well, that sounds like a
border doodle. I've never heard of a border doodle.
Oh, you should see her. She's pretty. So her mother was a poodle, and her father, no, her mother was a border collie, and her father was a poodle.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can have a look in your next newsletter. So everybody, you need to get over there and subscribe to the JanSykes.com newsletter.
Yeah.
Now, Jan, in your blurb, it said that Jan is an active blogger. So what is an active blogger? What are you doing with blogging?
Well, I started blogging back in 2014, kind of hit and miss. And then I decided to get serious about it and kind of came up with a schedule and started blogging at least and sometimes a little more. But it turned into a really wonderful platform for me. And I have just recently undergone moving my blog, which was a nightmare. And I lost a bunch of subscribers, but they'll find me again. If they're interested and they like what I'm doing, they'll find me again. If you're one of those subscribers who got lost, go to jansykes.com/blog and subscribe again.
All new subscribers are invited as well, too. You don't have to just be somebody who previously subscribed, because right now it's time
Absolutely.
To grow that list. Grow that list.
Absolutely.
Yeah, grow the list. Now, Jan, we've also mentioned that you're a member of Story Empire. I think all three of us are members of Story Empire. Tell us a little bit of your back history with Story Empire and how you got involved and what all goes on there.
Yeah, so I followed their blog for many, many years before I ever became a member, and always found such good information for writers. I mean, you know, just every aspect of the business. And so I was a follower of their blog long before I became a member of Story Empire. But it is basically a group of authors who blog three times a week. Everybody takes turns blogging on different subjects and different matters. And for instance, I spent about a year and a half blogging on nothing but marketing, trying, experimenting and trying all different kinds of ads and all different kinds of marketing techniques. And so I blogged about that for about a year and a half. But I've been a member of Story Empire for a few years now. And it's just it's a great group of authors who support each other, who share. You know, if somebody's having an issue with a, whether it be technology or whether it be with a storyline or whether it be just stuck or whatever, or health issues, we lift each other and support each other. So it's a great group of authors, and I'm very honored to be a part of it.
It's a lot of excellent content for free, too.
Yeah.
So people, get over there to storyempire.com and subscribe. Jan, what was your most recent post about over there?
My most recent post, I started doing a series this year on words that pack a punch. So, you know, instead of using the same old words over and over, there's so many options, and we get stuck in a rut, and we just use the same words. So my posts are about different ideas, different words to use that can take the place of just an ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill word. And it sometimes can help enhance the writing and enhance the story and bring it a little more to life. So that's what I'm blogging about for this year.
Oh, that's cool. Now, readers, go check out storyempire.com. Today's post is by me, and it's part three in my series on how to develop your own system for outlining stories. And, Beam, what was your most recent post?
My most recent post was to cuss or not to cuss. What do people feel about as both writers and readers, how do they feel about, you know, cuss words in fiction? And it came about because of a couple of conversations, but one of them was based kind of on a conversation I had with my mom about movies. And, you know, I just had mentioned that I liked Raging Bull, and she said, too many cuss words, just too many cuss words. And somebody else said, I had been in a conversation with somebody else who said that about a book, that they didn't like the fact that there was too many cuss words in this book. And so I thought, I'm going to write a story or a little post on that and get people's opinions. And boy, there were a lot of opinions, and it just ran the gamut.
There were.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was probably my most popular one so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, again,
I enjoyed the post and the comments.
Yeah.
The comments
sometimes can be a hoot. So, storyempire.com, people. Get over there and check it out. Now, we're talking to author Jan Sykes, active blogger, grandmother of five, and call in, people. Make a comment, ask a question, 516-453-9902. So we're going to roll a couple of commercials here, and when we get back, we're going to make how much of a fan of Texas music is she really?
In an innocent 1958 American suburb, Shelley doesn't know the power of a kiss or how it will change her entire life. At 16 years old, she falls in love with a young man. One night, just one night, they go too far. Months later, pregnant and shamed, Shelley's parents banish her. Alone and heavily pregnant, circumstances force Shelley to cross the country in an old pickup. A mistaken turn leaves her lost in a forest amidst a severe snowstorm and in labor. In the dark of night, Shelley must get help for her newborn baby before they both perish. A light in the distance gives her the slimmest glimmer of hope. After Shelley wraps the infant in her father's old jacket, she trudges through the snow to a lighthouse keeper's cottage. Snow half buries the squat stone building. Will Shelley find shelter, or is it the beginning of the end? Read The Gift by Gwen M. Plano, published by Fresh Ink Group, exclusively on Amazon Kindle.
When guilt-ridden Mia checks into a suicide hotel but can't go through with a final act, vengeful ghosts gather to torment her. Set in the near future, the post-war world is in turmoil, Mia Hawthorne suffers an emotional breakdown following the death of her wife and loses everything to a corrupt government. In an ironic twist of fate, the government suicide department, The Last Sanctuary, allocates a desperate and destitute Mia to the very hotel and family heirloom which she has so recently lost. On her first day at the Lighthouse Inn, beset with painful memories, doubts, and questions, Mia finds herself coming face to face with angry ghosts who gather to goad and torment her. Lost and alone, can Mia find enough strength and purpose to avoid her final, frightful fate? Read The Room at the End, Harbor Point Series Book 8 by best-selling author Harmony Kent, exclusively on Amazon Kindle.
All right. Go out and grab your copies of the book. And both of those books are part of the Harbor Point series, but they both have book trailers for those commercials. So go over to our YouTube channel. I know Harmony's got hers up on, I think it's her YouTube channel as well. But go over there, Fresh In Group at YouTube, and check them out. Hit that like button. So, Jan, you are a devoted fan of Texas music. And this includes Rick Sykes, I believe, as well. But what is the driving force behind Texas music in general? Because I'm a fan of a lot of stuff that comes out of Texas, and it runs the gamut of the country music stuff to the, you know, the Stevie Ray Vaughan stuff, the bluesy stuff, and then the metal of Pantera. Texas has got a lot of great music.
That is true, and it, I think that part of my love for it is that variety, in that it's not just one genre. I'm that kind of person. I'm that way when I read. I'm that way when I listen to music. I like all of it. And so, you know, my late husband was a lifetime singer-songwriter musician. And when he passed away in 2009, I looked for a way to stay in that vein. I just wanted to stay connected to the music. So I started volunteering at music festivals in Texas, and an amazing, wonderful amount of people, and got to know the artists, got to know the fans, got to know their music and what motivated them. And then I worked for Buddy Magazine, which was a music magazine, for several years, interviewing artists. And that was fun. That was amazing. Probably the most unique and different character I ever interviewed was Kinky Friedman.
But
he was a hoot, I tell you. He had absolutely no filter. No filter. But it was a fun interview. And but anyway, it just, I love the Texas music. And in fact, my new book that just released this week, the title of the book came from a song of a Texas music group called the Damn Quails. Not that I'm cursing, but that's what they call themselves, the Damn Quails. So anyway, so I listen to the music, and I love getting to know the artists and getting to know their creative process, because it's so similar to writing books, all of it. It all comes from that creative vein.
Yeah.
And but you know, you can write a 3-minute song a lot quicker than you can write a 300-page book.
Yeah, I know that. All right, we're going to do a quick thing here with, we got Twitter, and then we've got a caller waiting on hold, so we're going to go over to Twitter real quick. Verwayne Greenhill, good to see him in there tonight. He says, I've read every episode of the Story Empire blog. Lots of good info to be found on a variety of topics. Yeah, and if you're if you're a writer, there's all kinds of writing tools over there, like Steven's post today about you know, creating an outline for your stories, and a really cool way to do it. So let's go over here to the telephones. Hello, caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Robert McKenzie, Houston, Texas.
Long time caller. Hello, Robert McKenzie. Welcome to the
listener.
Show.
fan of Story Empire and Texas music and anything else I can think of tonight.
And Jan Sykes.
I saw the ad for the construction company, and I noticed that the company ended on, hello, Jan, hello, Gary, hello,
hey.
Beam. I don't want
hello,
to rob
Robert.
This thing, but before I forget, I was listening to the ad for the construction company, and they talked about at the end of it, it ended up on Pulaski Highway. And I'd throw it out here to the group and the listening audience as to, do they know who Pulaski is? You have 10 seconds.
No, I have no idea. I know what the town of Pulaski just down the road is known for, which is not a real positive thing, but who was Pulaski?
It was Casimir Pulaski, the Polish general in the American Revolutionary War, and he was the father of the American cavalry.
Oh.
And for the longest time, and I don't know why it isn't, but this is kind of a weird fact, but there's a day in October that's a National Proclamation Day for this guy. And it's a pretty interesting story. No, I did not include him in the chair pentalogy, but I probably should have.
Yeah,
you should have.
That's what book six is
Texas
for.
Music, quickly before I forget, my dad's third wife went to high school with Janis Joplin.
Ooh.
Woo.
And
ooh.
She was a flight attendant for Continental, not Janis Joplin. But also in that class, Port Arthur Jefferson High School, was Jimmy Johnson, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh,
so
wow.
All those people were the same age in the early 60s. But his wife told me that she really wasn't that weird. Everybody says, oh, yeah, she's supposed to be weird. But she kind of liked her, so she's glad she got away. And, of course, she got away, too, to fly for Continental. But that's pretty much it. I enjoyed the Story Empire series. I'm a subscriber, and I do read. I've probably responded maybe a couple of times with some smarty pants comment or something. But it's really informative, and if you're trying to be a writer or want to learn something about it, this is a good source of information.
Yeah, it's kind of rare, too, for you to find 3 of the 12, one quarter of the members all in one place at one time. So set a trap, you know, before
yeah, you know, it's like they can't have, you got to have the thing, the show with the guy, the missing guy or whatever, the series with Kiefer Sutherland. It can't all be in the same room. But I doubt you're all in the same city.
We're not
no,
in the same state.
Not even in the
yeah.
same state.
Right.
No,
Jan,
all,
I wanted to ask, where are you in Texas?
I am in the Dallas area.
Ooh.
Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, okay?
Yes, I can call it the
Metroplex. I wanted to ask you a question. I should have started with this. And this was big for me. I just started writing a few years ago, and I think I'm done with it. But the thing I want to know is how do you think about creating a character when you think, oh, I'm going to have this woman do that, or I'm going to have this man do that? How do you build it up? How do you? He was 6'3" and he weighed 100 pounds. He had great. How do you create a character?
You know, that's kind of a strange thing, and people are probably going to think I'm crazy. They may come with the little white jackets and want to lock me away. But my characters talk to me. They tell me what they want. I feel like I'm just a channel for them to tell their story. And a lot of times, you know, I think I know where the story's going to go and what it's going to do, and then, boom, they surprise me with something I didn't even think of. So it's just a process. It's a process of letting the creativity flow and being open to see what comes back, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. Yeah, a lot of people kind of talk to their characters and let their characters talk back.
Yeah.
In my case, whenever my characters talk to me, they're always wanting to know usernames and passwords, so I'm real suspicious about that kind of stuff. But
they come to you as Nigerian princes offering
yeah.
you money.
Yeah.
Oh, are offering a car warranty.
Yeah.
Well, I just
right.
have one
anyway,
more question,
kind of,
Jan. What is your favorite book and what book should I read?
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness. Well, my favorite one is the one that just came out this week because it's the new baby.
Yeah, A Beggar's Bargain, book one of the Bargainers series.
And it's different from anything I've written. It is historical fiction. It's not a romance. It's not a it's historical fiction. It's set in 1947, just following World War II, and it is set in Missouri.
Hmm.
So that's the one I would recommend. I always feel like, and it's always a goal that every book I write, I hope, is better than the last one.
Makes
sense.
As far as my writing ability and my ability to get the point across and to tell the story, so that's always a goal, to be better. All
Very
right.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks for calling
thanks
in,
for
Robert.
Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the show. Thank
well,
you.
Thank you for being
you.
Part of it, Robert.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
All right, we are going to take a quick break here. Then we've got another caller waiting on the line. So hold on, caller, and we'll get to you. You, too, can be part of the program, 516-453-9902, 516-453-9902, and we will put you on the air with your questions or comments.
Fresh Ink Group presents, from author Stephen Gies, Been There, Noted That, Essays in Tribute to Life, Observations, Inspiration, Remembrance, and Noteworthies to Share. The simple lives of everyday people in a mundane world prove extraordinary in this collection of 54 personal experience essays by novelist Stephen Gies. The eclectic mix of memoir, commentary, humor, and appreciation covers a wide range of topics, each illustrated by artists and photographers from the Fresh Ink Group. Many of these essays have appeared in other book anthologies such as Chicken Soup, or in popular magazines, newspapers, websites, and the author's site, www.stephengies.com. Some appear in this collection for the first time. Some pieces may resonate in ways that touch you deeply. Others might well remind you of people you've known and loved. Some convey direct messages you might want to pass along, such as appreciation for friendship, birthday wishes, and graduation congratulations. Several explore remembrance, a way to share our search for meaning as we grieve. From cautionary tales to poignant pokes at our uniquely human foibles, Gies catches what many of us miss, then considers how we might all share the most poignant of lessons. Been There, Noted That aims to reveal who we are, examine where we've been, and discover what we dare strive to become. Been There, Noted That, Essays in Tribute to Life, is available worldwide in print editions and ebook editions, including iBook, Kindle, Nook, and more. Been There, Noted That is proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group.
Introducing Book One in the new series by master sci-fi storyteller Robert G. Willescroft, Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Oort Chronicle. Dying of prostate cancer, wealthy entrepreneur Braxton Thorpe is frozen in hopes of someday being revived and cured. That's when he discovers a threat to the entire solar system. But he has a problem. He's dead. He awakens to find himself uploaded into an electronic matrix. Exploring beyond the matrix and the larger global net, he discovers the Oort, a distributed electronic entity older than humanity, with an unnerving secret. Aliens wiped out nearly all life on Earth once, and they are coming back to do it again. The mathematical entity that is Thorpe has to find a way to convince humans of this threat, and in time to do something about it. But how? And what?
Will Thorpe's carefully assembled team have any shot at saving the world? Will the Russians and Chinese help or betray? And who uploaded the cat? Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Urt Chronicle, is available worldwide in hardcover, softcover, all ebook formats, and now as an audiobook narrated by Trenton Bennett, including music and sound effects. Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
You're listening to The Voice of Indy.
All right. So we are going to go to the phones. We got another caller here. So let's keep the party going. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Darlings, it is your Michigan compatriot. This is Annette Aben. How are you?
Hi, Annette.
Hello, Annette.
Hello, darling.
Welcome to the show.
I don't know if you know this or not, Jan, but Beam and I live in Michigan. Stephen went to high school with my brother. Small
world. Oh, my goodness. Really?
I know. It's crazy crackers. This is so much
Small
fun.
World.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It is. And can I answer the question that was posed in the most recent promotion there? And then I do have something to ask you, Jan, that I think is kind of fun for me anyway. Who uploaded the cat? The cat has people to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But which people did it? That was the question.
I couldn't resist. We have three cats in the house, and it's like, who does what for the cat? Whoever the cat assigns that duty to. You. Never an issue. Miss Jan, I am so excited
yes.
about your book. So thrilled. I mean, I have it. I'm, like, eager to start reading it. I'm just like, oh. But I have a question about the books about you and Rick, or about the characters that you took from you and Rick. If this were to be made into a movie or a TV miniseries, who would you want to play you, and who would you want to play Rick?
Wow.
Well, that's such a hard question. I've given it a lot of thought, actually, and I always hope that someday maybe our true story would make it onto the big screen. But I don't know. She's getting kind of old, but I've always thought Meryl Streep would be good to play my part. Rick, I don't know. I don't know. That's a really good question.
I mean,
it would have to be someone who could play and sing. It would have to be somebody with some musical ability.
Bradley Cooper.
And yeah,
Jeff Daniels.
Not quite. No, not Jeff Daniels. I thought about that too.
Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges.
That's right.
Jeff Bridges.
Another Michigan person.
Daniel. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I'd have to give it a lot of thought.
That guy who just starred in the series Succession, he does the McDonald's commercials. Ba-da-bum-bum-bum.
Yeah, I just always thought that would be really kind of cool to bring those books, you know, to life, so to
yeah.
speak.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
That's my big dream.
So now let's move to this book that's like book one of more to follow, I imagine, because I remember reading that. Who would you have in the role from this book forward, this little series?
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Nothing's totally on the spot. But.
Goodness. I don't know. I really don't. I can't answer it that off the cuff. I would have to really give it some thought.
You know, but I think your characters will tell you. Seriously, like you were talking about, you know, how do you come up with the characters? And you're like, well, the characters
right.
tell me. I totally understand. Right the way you guys choose.
Right.
From experience, but I respect I really do. So I think it would be kind of fun to see who might find and, you know, who might be. You know who I think, and I know that it's really kind of silly, But every time I think about stuff that you write, I keep seeing Johnny Depp in my head. Who also, by the way. And,
true. Yeah.
You know, he can be almost any age, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they can do a lot with makeup.
Very true. And you know who else can play and sing, too, would be Robert Downey Jr., T. Wiz. And now he's going to be one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just
that would be excellent.
It would be kind of fun to see who would, because they're not, you can't necessarily get country stars to do stuff.
Right.
It's a big thing in movies where they would get people to play the different minorities and the different roles of different ethnicities. And then, of course, they stopped doing slapping people's hands and saying, stop that. You've got actors.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. If they bring this stuff to life, who knows? I mean, it would just be kind of fun. Or maybe there would be a totally unknown out there that just steps onto the screen and wows them, and it'll say, you know, based on the book side, would it, now here's the other, would it also say screenplay written by Chance Sykes? Have you ever thought
of
that?
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, I have written a screenplay. In fact, the very first writing class I ever took was a screenwriting class because I thought I was going to write a movie. And 15 minutes into the class, I realized that the story was too big for an hour and a half movie. But I learned a lot, and a lot of the same principles apply to screenwriting as they do to book writing. But so I do have a screenplay. But I don't know. It's all, I just keep, I keep that thought out there in the universe, and maybe eventually there'll be something that will manifest from it.
Hmm.
I think it'd be exciting.
And, of course, with my love for Texas music and the artists who make it, I would love to include some of the Texas artists that I love and admire in the movie if that were to be possible.
Oh, I think that would be great. I think that would be so exciting. Because I get the feeling when I read anything that you write that I can see it. And I think to myself, well, maybe that's because this is going to be a movie someday or a television show someday or a Netflix series or whatever's out there. These, I have no clue. I don't own a TV and I don't watch the movies. So it's like, But I keep, I know, right? I know. I'm just so not with it. But I keep sensing that they would. And I thought, oh, who would write them? Jan would have to write them. And if it was to you, who would you trust to transfer your books?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, when they do pick up a book for a movie, and I've watched some movies that were taken from books, and they're changed greatly. And I don't know how that would make me feel. I guess if the check was big enough, it wouldn't matter.
Well, part of your deal needs to be for you to have the clout to be the one doing the rewrites, or at least on the rewrite team. That way, at the last minute, when they decide to shoot this scene differently or eliminate that scene and combine these two scenes, you're the one that's making those changes to your work as opposed to somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Well, it would be a fantastic, amazing thing, Annette. I would love to see it, but we'll see. Who knows?
Who knows?
You never know what's around the next corner.
And you may actually get me to buy a ticket to a movie or rent a TV for a week.
Ooh.
I would send you a ticket.
There you go. And, woman, you're not only using this ticket, but you're going to be sitting right here next to me in this theater watching this movie. I'm going to make you sit. If you're good at getting popcorn.
Yeah, I could come to Michigan.
Yeah.
And I could come to Texas. It'd be what a treat for me. I was only there once on a layover from Detroit to L.A. We landed in Dallas, Fort Worth, and then took off again. But I've been to Texas for about 20 minutes.
There you go.
Well,
thank you so much for calling in.
Oh,
it was
so
fun to talk.
Have fun, gentlemen. It's good to be with you guys again, even if it's only on telephone.
Yeah. We'll see you at the movies.
You
yeah, you'll see me at the movies. Take care.
All right. We're talking to author Jan Sykes, people. There's still time to call in if you want. Make a comment, ask a question. It's 516-453-9902. Call in, talk to author Jan Sykes.
Yeah, and since we're going to be talking about Jan's book coming up, how about we play that commercial?
Ooh.
A shocking proposal that changes everything. Desperate to honor his father's dying wish, Lakin Martin vows to do whatever it takes to save the family farm. Once the Army discharges him following World War II, Lakin returns to Missouri to find his legacy in shambles and in jeopardy. A foreclosure notice from the bank doubles the threat. He appeals to the local banker for more time, a chance to rebuild, plant, and harvest crops, and time to heal far away from the noise of bombs and gunfire. But the banker firmly denies his request. Now what? Then the banker makes an alternative proposition. Marry his unwanted daughter, Sarah Beth, in exchange for a 2-year extension. Out of options, money, and time, Lakin agrees to the bargain. Now he has 2 years to make a living off the land while he shares his life with a stranger. Read A Beggar's Bargain, Book 1 in the Bargainer series by best-selling author Jan Sykes. Available worldwide from multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. A Beggar's Bargain by Jan Sykes.
Cool.
So, Dan, how about you tell us what is A Beggar's Bargain about?
Well, the commercial pretty much lays out the basic plot of the story in that this man has returned home to the family farm, and his folks have passed away, and he is the sole heir, and it needs a lot of work, and now he discovers that there is a foreclosure notice, so he will do anything to try to save the farm. It's been in his family for generations. And so he'll do whatever he has to try to save it, which winds up including a forced marriage. But as I said to Robert McKenzie, it's not a romance. The story all about the struggle to save the farm and to kind of rediscover... He needs to rediscover himself after the war, and Sarah Beth is just trying to figure out who she is. So a lot of things happen, and I'm certainly not going to share all of that because that would be no reason to pick up the book. But one of the fun twists that came into the story was a little boy that Sarah Beth found living in the forest on their land. And so some drastic circumstances had sent the little boy into hiding. And that was kind of a fun thing to add to the story. But it is historical fiction. And one of the biggest challenges to writing it was keeping true to the time period with, you know, remembering what things were called. Like nobody called, they didn't use the word refrigerator. They called it an icebox.
Yeah.
Even, you know, my mother, up until she died, called it icebox. Get something out of the icebox. They didn't say refrigerator. So, yeah. So little things like that, just little details that I thought were important to the story to keep it true and right, and true to the time period.
Now
it was a lot of research.
Speaking of the research, now do you spend any time at all? I know that this the main character, he's coming home from World War II. Do you spend any time during the war with him fighting?
No. No,
The
story opens with him receiving his discharge and coming home.
Okay.
So tell us about the cover, Jan. What is it that we're seeing? And what's, is there any story behind that?
So one of the main aspects of the story was, you know, that not only did he inherit the farm, but he inherited his father's old pickup. So that was the pickup that's on the cover of the book is how I visualized it. It was like a 1930-something pickup. And then, of course, the barn in the background lets people know it's a farm. And then the dog, that was another little twist in the story. The dog came into the story about halfway through, and she wound up being a really kind of fun little character to add to everything. So it's kind of, as the story progresses, this man who comes home completely alone, facing trying to rebuild and cover completely alone, winds up with a makeshift family that includes some animals and then this kid. And so, yeah, it's kind of a fun story to write. I went to Missouri a couple of years ago to do research because I was not familiar with the countryside. And one of the things that I immediately had to change when I got home, I had already written a scene where they were driving across the cattle guards. They don't use cattle guards in Missouri. They don't use them. So I had to take that out because I wanted to keep it right. So through that visit to Missouri, I met so many people who emailed me. I could ask them questions about the little town, about things like, was there a doctor in the town? Was there, you know, things like that as the story went on that I needed to know. And that was really fun, having that interaction with the people who lived there.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So this is the first book in the Bargainer series. How many books are you expecting? And you going to have a uniform look for all of them?
So I have three books planned. I am about 30,000 words into the second one. I really had hoped to be further, but I'm not, so it's okay. And yes, the uniformity across the book covers will be the vehicle and the dog. Each cover will have a vehicle that matches the story. Like the second story I'm writing, the vehicle is an old woody wagon, if you remember what those are.
Yeah.
The old panel wagons that literally they were wood, and they called them woodies.
Yeah.
So it's a woody wagon, and then the dog is a little fox terrier. So different dog, different car.
Cool.
And then on the third book, there will be the vehicle will be a old Indian motorcycle.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Don't know yet what kind of dog, but that's the consistency across the covers is the vehicle and the dog.
Well,
how about background can change.
How about a border doodle?
yeah.
I don't think they'd ever heard of them in 1947.
yeah, if it's an Indian motorcycle, it's a road dog.
I hear of a dog with a doodle in it, you know, border doodle or golden doodle, and I picture a dog sitting there with a pencil doodling pictures.
yeah.
A pencil in their paw.
yeah.
They're pretty smart, but I don't think they can manage that. They'd have to have a thumb.
yeah.
All right. Now, for Jan, you've had a long history of self-publishing and working with your own team of people. You've switched this time and worked with a different publisher. What's going on there?
Well, I just wanted something. Let me back up a little bit. I published my last series through a traditional publishing company, and it was fine. It was fine, except that I just didn't feel like I had the support of the company. And knowing you and Beam for so many years, I thought, why not? And the fact that my neighbor published with you, that really kind of encouraged me also because y'all were so awesome with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to go with you guys. And so far it's been a wonderful experience.
Yeah, well, we're glad to hear that. That's Fresh Ink Group, and we're proud to have Jan Sykes as a member now. If you go to freshinkgroup.com, she's got her own section in there where you can learn about all of her books, not just what we publish, because we don't promote just books that we publish. We promote our authors, our members, and the people that we like. Jan Sykes, way up on that list of people we like. Right, Jan?
Yeah.
Back at you.
yeah. All right, so we're getting down close to the end here. You want to roll out some ads, Beam?
Yeah, we will roll out a couple of them here. And we do have a little bit of time, listeners. So if you want to call in, you got a question or a comment, 516 516-453-9902. 516-453-9902. Or if you're looking at your computer and listening to this, it's right there in front of you. The number, call it. So we'd love to have you on. And we're going to play a little thing from Patricia A. Guthrie's short story collection.
Yeah.
Psychologist Annabelle O'Brien flees from her psychotic ex-husband in New York City, only to find he is stalking her across the country with deadly intentions. She takes a job in the resort town of Lake Nage. When a series of attacks place her in even greater danger, Annabelle turns to hostile burnout of a detective, Mark Driscoll, who is assigned to protect her. Then, two women who resemble her are murdered, and the town is gripped with fear. Mark and Annabelle must work together to catch the killer before he catches them. From the celebrated author of such bestsellers as Legacy of Danger and her collection Eerie Charms of the Short Story, Water Lilies Over My Grave is a novel of psychological suspense about one woman searching for a new life, even as she is threatened by her old one. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Water Lilies Over My Grave is available in all print and digital formats worldwide.
Hello, Chattanooga. Famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. Features photos, stories, and complete listings of the entertainers, athletes, political leaders, and others who visited the area since 1900. Chattanooga has attracted some of the best-known celebrities in the world, thanks to our city's historic venues, beautiful scenery, and powerful people. Hello Chattanooga features hundreds of restored photos, behind-the-scenes stories, and thousands of fully indexed entries spanning more than 700 pages. I'm David Carroll. I've worked in Chattanooga television and radio for more than 40 years. I also write a weekly newspaper column and have written two other books, Chattanooga Radio and Television, A Photo History of Chattanooga Media, and Volunteer Bama Dog, A TV Guy's Love Letter to the South, a collection of my most popular stories. Hello Chattanooga is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in a keepsake, jacketed, hardcover edition with full-color interior printing, softcover with black and white photos, and all-color ebook formats worldwide. Take a trip back in time, enjoy great memories, and maybe even settle an argument as you learn the dates and places that your favorite star, athlete, or president visited the Chattanooga area.
All right. So as you heard, that the Water Lilies on My Grave, that's not the short story collection. That's Eerie Charms is the short story collection. But Water Lilies on My Grave, that is a dark, psychological, supernatural novel. I've read it. Excellent. I gave it 5 stars. Go out and grab a copy. We talked about this earlier. Patricia Guthrie is a stellar writer of the really dark, spooky stuff. And she's got the voices, the narrative voice, the dialogue, all that stuff down. So if you like that kind of spookiness, that's a book for you. All right, so Jan, tell us about some of the. Have you had fan reaction? Do you do like some of the? I know you do some book signings and whatnot, and then reviews that people are writing that stand out to you. What's some of your fan reaction been like?
Well, I've had some early reviews come in on A Beggar's Bargain, and they've been wonderful. They've been all very positive, and so the feedback is always good. But just in general, when you're out in public and you're doing a book signing and you have that one-on-one interaction with people, there's just something really special that happens. It's just an exchange of energies, and when I'm out in public, I don't immediately start talking about my books. I ask them about themselves, you know, how are you doing today, and what brought you out today, and then we wind up talking, and they'll say, well, what have you written, and here we go. But I love doing that, and I love doing the live events. I am actually, and this is something I did want to mention, I'm going to be doing a book tour in Missouri starting April the 10th, and all of the itinerary is on my website of where I'm going to be. A couple of libraries, a couple of event centers. I'll be doing that. I'm looking forward to that because I think the people there will be very receptive. They've been so supportive. When you get a good review and you get a positive review, for me, if it comes from a total stranger that does not know me from Adam and I don't know them and they've enjoyed something I've written, it's like getting a bouquet of roses.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, that's one of the coolest things is when somebody you've never met, you don't know, like you said, from Adam, and they've read something you wrote. That is such a rush.
Yeah. Now, Chad, You get out there among the fans. You do blog tours. You do book signings. You do any kind of event that people put out a few snacks and let you have a card table long enough to meet some fans and stuff. You've learned a lot over the years, and we're always learning new things, trying things. Not everything works. What's something you've learned lately, some good advice that you could offer to other writers out there?
You know, it's I almost hate to say this because it sounds negative, and I don't like to say things that are negative, but book festivals are kind of a thing of the past. There are so many published authors that came about through the self-publishing opportunities that there's just tons of authors out there, and people no longer have that excitement about going to meet a bunch of authors. So book festivals alone really kind of struggle. People just don't come out. But if you can do events that involve other things like art or music or any kind of gathering of people, a farmer's market, anywhere there are people, it's just a wonderful opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation and someone walk away with one of your books. And I've done a couple of events in Seguin, Texas, and it's interesting because the same people come back. And they'll come back to my table and they'll say, I loved your book. It was so good. I couldn't stop reading. And that just makes all the hard work worthwhile. Because let's face it, it's not easy writing a book. And if no one has ever done it, they have no clue. It's not easy. It is a process. And it takes patience and persistence. And so that's the reward, is someone coming back and saying, I loved it. I want another one.
Oh, that's definitely cool. So don't just look for the book festivals where it's only going to be readers and authors, but look for other things that also draw people in, any different kinds of events, activities, music festivals, or anything like that, where you can set up, get some exposure, and get to meet a lot of people who might not have even thought they were looking to meet an author today. I like that.
That is so
advice.
True.
And of course, the other one is set up next to the food truck.
Absolutely, or across from it. Get close to the food truck. I have set up at music festivals and have done well, and so it's it's just a kind of a cool way to get your books out there and actually have one-on-one conversations instead of everything being virtual and online, and you never know these people.
Speaking of meeting people and whatnot, how can listeners contact you? Where can they find you online? Handles for social media, websites, email address?
And that newsletter.
Definitely.
Yeah, I send everybody to my website because that's the one-stop shopping. I've got the blog, I've got the newsletter, I've got all of my books, I've got some writing workshops that I have out there, and then I also have a whole section devoted to Rick Sykes and his legacy and his music and his history. So my website is the place to start, and from there you can connect, you can subscribe to the blog, you can subscribe to the newsletter, you can connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter. On Facebook I'm author Jan Sykes Books. On Twitter I'm Jan Sykes 3. On Instagram I'm Sykes Jan. So it can all connect from my website.
All right, jansykes.com. Right. All right, our guest today has been author Jan Sykes. Her new book is the first in the Bargainer series, A Beggar's Bargain,
by Jan Sykes. Get out there and check it out, people. It's in full release as of yesterday.
Yes. Thank you for taking some time and spending with us tonight, Jan. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I loved it.
Definitely. Now, people, make sure you subscribe to our newsletter so you can get the links for the shows each week. Next week, we're going to have author Vincent Panettiere, somebody that we're not real familiar with yet, so we're looking forward to learning more about him. Who we have after that, Beam?
And we're following that up with someone we're really familiar with. Mr. Verwayne Greenhow is going to drop in and tell us some updates of what's going on with him, and he's going to talk a little bit about Vela and all kinds of cool stuff. So tune in for that one, and after that...
After that, back to somebody I'm not familiar with, Caleb Palmquist. He's an author, and we're going to see what he's been up to. After Caleb, who's that?
After Caleb is another one we're not familiar with, Peter Crowley. So we're going to learn about these guys as you're learning about them. So tune in for those. And after Peter,
That is a fun thing about this show. Sometimes it's somebody we've known for decades, and the next week it's somebody we're just meeting. And that's pretty cool, too. Now, speaking of somebody we've known for quite a while, after Peter Crowley, we're going to have author Marcia Fox. I believe Jan Sykes knows her as well, too.
I do.
She does a lot of different kind of nonfiction, from astrology to her new book is about eclipses. And we have a major full sun eclipse coming up in early April here in the United States. And she's got a new book coming out about that. So Marcia Fox. It's going to be a guest after that. We got other people lined up too, so subscribe to that newsletter. Thanks again for being on the show, Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
Absolutely. I've loved it. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Okay. Again, the book is A Beggar's Bargain, and find out everything you need to know at jansykes.com or look for her pages at freshinkgroup.com, and we'll see everybody next time.
Bye, everybody. Next week, tune in.
Dave Hooker here, longtime Tennessee sports writer, and I know that true Tennessee fans are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the legendary 1998 Tennessee Volunteers Championship season. I'll tell you what, you celebrate 98, I try to bring the full color photos and detail of the transfer of power from Peyton Manning to Al Wilson, the preparation to win the first BCS National Championship, the locker room dynamics, and the challenges of a team rising above deep tragedy. Key plays include an interception, a fumble maybe against Arkansas, and a bit of trickeration. Also, there's that Florida game. I analyze the leadership, the strategies, and the players' commitment to each other and share what we are still learning from this team even today. Discover what happened to those heroes of the gridiron and where they are now. Proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group, Celebrate 98 is available in all the digital forms, but you can also get your own soft cover or jacketed hardcover keepsake edition from booksellers worldwide. Want an autographed edition? Go to offthehooksports.com. That's offthehooksports.com, and I'll personalize it for you. Celebrate 98 is a collector's item and a cherished gift that belongs to all fans of college football and the Tennessee Volunteers.
You're listening to The Voice of Indy.
Check out freshinkgroup.com for everything publishing. Meet scores of authors. Discover hundreds of great books, plus audiobooks, podcasts, videos, trailers, free stories, free manuscript evaluations, and more. That's freshinkgroup.com.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.